and turn to Matthew 21. I'm going to be reading there in a moment as well. And appreciate again Jack and the team. They were just really good people to work with. And they just did a great job with leaders and children combination. We look forward to doing more and more of those things. Again, we're actually doing two different ministries at the same time and getting two times more accomplished as well. So that was a blessing having this team here. I've been talking on this series that's called Strengthen. And I really, before I even left for the country, before I left this nation to go overseas, the Spirit of God said, I want you to, when you come back here again, to give this message on prayer. One of the primary ways that God is going to be strengthening us this year and every year in front of us is to be people who actually commit ourselves to intercessory prayer. Because the fact of the matter is, there's things that we'll be facing this year that's going to be too big for us. Every year on the face of the earth is going to be facing things maybe in your life or in people that you know in their lives that are going to need something supernatural to take and break loose upon them to bring forth answers and solutions in the way that God wants the thing to turn out for their lives. God wants to do good things for us. God is only good all the time. Amen. God is also a loving God, and God wants to also show us off to the world around us of how much he loves us, that folks around us who are lost and dying and even on the way away from God forever will actually have an envy and a desire to have the God that we have in their lives by seeing the peace, the love, the actions, and the very compassion of God flowing through us in front of their faces. God wants to show us off in those ways. Prayer helps us to be people who actually find ourselves in the right place at the right time to become the most salt and the most light we can be upon the face of the earth. And sure, I'll get this scripture today from the book of Psalms. Again, we never compare notes, what I'm going to be speaking about on Sunday mornings. But you can hear in that message, those scriptures there again, the strong emphasis there was about prayer and hearing and God hearing our voice. And also then the voice of God matching our voice and actually being magnified through our voice. And the voice of the Lord thundering upon the face of the earth. When the Bible says, give and it shall be given to you. Whatsoever things we sow, we also reap. It also means the words and the voice we sow into God's kingdom is going to come back to us in a magnified manner, and the roar of the Lord is released upon the face of the earth. In 2016, I know again the Church of God in Austin, Texas, and surrounding areas is being postured to receive a harvest of people who are not going to find satisfaction by their education, or by their house, or by their car, or by their friends, or by their drugs, or by their affluence, or by their whatever. It's only going to be through God's kingdom working in them they're going to find satisfaction through Jesus Christ the Lord. He's a living God. He's a loving God. He's a God that wants to invade our lives and give people a reason to wake up every morning rejoicing that they finally have found the reason for life upon this short life on this earth that God gives us. So, talking to you this morning here about getting God's assistance and about having and talking about the power of agreement, talking about agreeing with God in prayer. Now, much of our prayer life, again, the primary goal of prayer is not just speaking out words to God and requests to him. It's also about having a two-way communication where God actually speaks also back to us. As I'm speaking here on Sunday mornings like this, and as I live and move and have my being on Mondays through Saturdays as well, I want to always be open to hearing God's voice. Now, I'm going to go into the realm this morning here about how God speaks to us. I found there's about 10 ways God can talk to us. But God primarily works through people who are mature believers in Jesus Christ by giving them impressions, giving them still small voices, sometimes invading their dreams or giving them visions even, about things he finds important they hear from his kingdom upon this earth. But I found that God gives impressions a whole lot. One impression God gave me as I've come back from a foreign country back in this place of praise and worship is how much he loves every one of you guys. He told me during praise and worship time that it would amaze me to know how much he wants to do good for every one of you this morning in this church service. God knows every pressure you're going through right now in your household. He hears the yells and screams of sometimes rebellious children in your house, of backbiting co-workers who have selfish agendas that they're pouring inside your life and getting you worn out sometimes by their this unceasing griping, complaining, and negativity that you might be facing in this world. The Bible tells us, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Cast off the heavy yokes and put on my yoke, which is easy, and I will give you rest. My prayer today is that the yoke of God comes on you and starts smashing the yokes of the world, because people around us can't have peace. They don't know the Prince of Peace. So all they can do is gripe, complain, and spew out negative things, it seems like, in many ways. And God's going to give us, I believe, a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Amen? And so this morning, I want to say right off the bat, God loves you more than you think He does. God wants to do more good things for you than you realize. And you're going to leave His place today, I believe, refreshed in Jesus' name. That's why, again, prayer is also important, because prayer puts you in a place where you're in God's presence. And when there's God's presence is at, what's the Bible say about God's presence? There is what? There is fullness of joy in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I was, again, I've told you time and time again, I've been around people of prayer all of my Christian spirit-filled life. I was spirit-filled from age 20. And God began to put me immediately around people who are involved very strongly in intercessory prayer. There's going to always be a strong DNA in this church, this local church, for intercessory prayer. I believe God's called this local church to be a praying people, because we're already seeing God do things among us, but God wants to expand that this year outside of us, into our community, into our city, into the nations in greater measure. As I was working under Larry Lee, apostle of prayer of 1980s, who raised up 300,000 intercessors in America in the 80s to pray 1 hour a day with his great teaching called Could You Not Tarry 1 Hour, from Matthew chapter 6, I think verses 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer. One thing Larry Lee said that I really caught my attention years and years back was a man named Yonggi Cho, who has the greatest praying church in the world in Seoul, South Korea. Over 1 million people go to his church. He's got a place called Prayer Mountain. Yonggi Cho said, as I was praying about you, Larry Lee, years ago, I saw a vision of you having Mickey Mouse ears, ears like Mickey Mouse, because God was telling me you're able to perceive and hear God's voice because of your prayer life. And that day when I heard that, I desired myself to have ears like Mickey Mouse. Amen? Not just a nose like Pinocchio, but ears like Mickey Mouse. I want to have big ears, not to hear gossip and slander and negative things. I want to have big ears to hear what God's kingdom is voicing upon the earth. There are many voices all around us, and I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear the clear voice. I want to hear the voice that points away. I want to hear God's voice for my wife, Cheryl. I want to hear God's voice for my children, for all the members of our congregation as well, for those we minister to in the future. I want to be hearing God's voice. And so prayer does that. Prayer opens your ears up. And when you hear God's voice, God only blesses us by things He speaks to us. Amen? How many folks realize there are some things you need to know about you don't know about yet? About your future and about your kids' future, about things that pertain to you. And those things get revealed, mysteries get revealed to you as you start hearing the voice of God. Because the good news is, God is so smart and so wise, He knows things that we need to know that we don't know about. And so that's why it says, call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall hear great and mighty things that you know not. Now, I want to hear those kind of things from God this year, okay? And so, Larry Lee also said one more thing that was very, very impacting to my life. He said, I believe when we find ourselves in heaven, and we see God face to face, and we see the glory of God's kingdom, I believe the first and greatest revelation all believers shall receive there is the majesty, the glory, the awesomeness, the love, the power, the might, all the things of heaven will totally overwhelm us as the first and greatest revelation of who God is, seeing Him face to face for the first time. But I believe the second revelation we're going to see in heaven is what prayer could have done. We're going to have revealed to us what prayer could have done had we been a praying people upon the earth. In the 80s in our nation, they did a survey, what's called a poll pew type thing among churches across our country. They polled pastors of local churches. I think over 300,000, 500,000 people across our country are pastors in that era. And they found that of all of our pastors of our country in the 80s, most of them were only praying about 5 minutes any given day. most of them. And I don't know how much ground you can cover in 5 minutes. We don't pray out of works or out of religion to try to punch in a time clock and make God happy by our prayers. But our prayers are things that actually bring forth heaven upon this earth and impact things that are natural with the supernatural to bring forth the results that God wants on the earth. Amen? And I'd be petrified if I was your pastor only praying 5 minutes a day for this congregation and for my family, and even for myself. Amen? I need more than 5 minutes a day to be doing that. So I want you to write down, if you have something to write down, some things with today, some notes. I've got three truths, three take-home points about prayer that I want us to memorize and think about these things in our prayer time. We're going to close this service here having an altar call to pray this year. This actually is the New Year's week for China, the year of the monkey. They're giving out monkeys all over the place in China. You see monkeys everywhere in China because this is the year of the monkey. And their New Year's begins this week. So as far as I'm concerned, I should have spoken this message January the 1st, but it is New Year's Day in China. So we're in China time right now. This is New Year's Day. We're going to posture ourselves in 2016 to be praying according to what God wants us to pray for and having a more dynamic prayer life, because we can always see ourselves improving with our prayer. Okay, so first thing about prayer is this. Number one, there's a posture for prayer. Number one, don't write that down, please. There's a posture for prayer. Matthew 21, verses 1 through 5 says this. Now when they drew near Jerusalem, and they came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples and said to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you are going to find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anybody says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. Now you got to realize that Jesus Christ is speaking these words, and there's no donkey anywhere near them. There's nothing natural happening around them. He's just speaking out by faith and saying immediately two times, you're going to see this happen and this happen. Then verse 4 says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet who said, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you lowly, sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal also of a donkey. So what is happening here in this verse is, first of all, I want to say to you, when you go into your prayer life again, enter into your prayer time expecting God to speak to you somehow, some way. I encourage you guys to even have a Bible close to you when you go into prayer, because many times God will give you a verse to look up during prayer time. You might be going through a great dilemma about your job, about your marriage, about whatever. And also the Spirit of God says, look at Luke chapter 10, verse 18. It may not be memorized in your mind, but you'll look that thing up, and it's exactly what you need to receive that day as an answer or an encouragement or a faith builder for what God's going to say the answer is to your problem. Now, God may not always do that, or God won't do it all the time, but be prepared for that and have a Bible nearby if you can do that. What I want to say about listening also, we see that Jesus Christ, a man of prayer, how did he know there'd be a donkey tied to a certain place for the disciples to find? Because in his prayer time that morning, God showed him there's going to be a donkey tied up in such a place here. Tell your disciples, go get that, and immediately they shall find the donkey, and they shall bring it to you to ride upon into Jerusalem. You see, because he prayed, he was hearing things in advance for the day's ministry, and God was revealing things to Jesus that actually fulfilled scriptures in his life. Jesus Christ lives in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. What God did for Jesus, God will do for you. God will warn you. God will show you. God will do things for you in advance, even before they happen, to bring forth answers to dilemmas and problems you face upon the earth. Also, we see in these verses, Jesus Christ prayed with an attitude of humility. Again, being humble does not mean being weak. It means I will submit myself to a stronger power than I am, whose name is God, the Father in heaven. I will pray to him in Jesus' name with a humble heart, realizing I cannot answer this thing in my life, but he can. I will humble myself under the mighty hand of God that he may lift me up, build me up, and bring forth answers as only he can bring. So, again, coming to God in a humble way does not mean coming to God begging and pleading and weeping and sniveling like a beggar. It means you know your place, who you are, that God is great, and in my flesh I am weak. I am a son of God. I'm a daughter of God's kingdom. I am highly prized and blessed by him, but he is the authority, and I am his servant. And I come to him knowing he has a supply. I need that supply, but I also know he is the one who's over me, and I'm under him. Amen? So it talks about our position more so than an attitude of being a beggar for him. Okay, next of all, avoid also false humility, which reeks of performance and works and religion. Some folks believe that by being, in their own eyes, being humble in a begging type way, it will actually twist God's arm to feel sorry for us and do things for us quicker by pity and by mercy. I found a long time ago, you can't make God do anything. Amen? What you got to do here is find out, Father God, what is your will in this? You know, sometimes you got for kind of a raw example, let's say you have two single people that are dating. One's a total unbeliever who's hooked on heroin and is in all kinds of evil things. The other is a real godly woman who meets him, and she's trying to get him straightened up and know Jesus Christ and delivered before she marries him. And so she believes sometimes by her beggings and pleadings and by her tears is going to make God change that man's heart. Well, God knows you cannot change any man's will. God won't make anybody become anything different than they are. Now, God can create circumstances, and God can start doing things to help their hearts get drawn towards him. But what I'm saying is our tears and beggings and pleadings will not make God do anything. God wants us to agree with him. What God sees about your boyfriend is, I want that man to get saved. I want his heart to belong to me. And so agree with me, says God, that all things that blind that young man's eyes are being broken off his mind in Jesus' name. I bind the spirit of deception and lies over him, and I declare the gospel of Jesus Christ being proclaimed to him shall be received by him, and he shall receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The main thing that young man needs is Jesus in his life, because the Bible says do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Amen? And so you got to find out what is God's will for that young man's life, not for your life, for his life, and what does God want? And then when you find out what God's will is, then you go in an aggressive mode, commanding, declaring, and believing that what God wants for that young man's life will take place in Jesus' name. Amen? Until that happens, you don't marry him, you don't get engaged to him, you don't take and go any further with him. Amen? You pray for what God wants in his life. So moving on here. Even, again, I've heard people sometimes in their prayer life change their voice. Their voice gets real deep and sometimes real guttural. It's like if a real holy, reverent type voice. I found myself that voices only change when demons come in people's lives. Amen? Don't change your voice to pray to God. Use your normal, natural voice. God likes your voice. God made your voice. God wants your voice. Amen? Don't change your voice when you pray to God. Just pray in a normal way. God hears that. God likes that. God likes authenticity. He does not like religion and fakeness. Amen? I'm saying also as far as fasting goes, I encourage you guys in 2016, just pray to God and say, Father God, what will you give me grace for as far as fasting is concerned? We don't always have all revelation about what fasting does for us. All I know is Jesus said to the Pharisees, once I go to heaven and I depart, my disciples will fast. So we find that there's some things God does in a supernatural, powerful way through fasting that sometimes does not take place by not fasting. So I've encouraged to fast on a regular basis because I know that God asks us to do that, to deny ourselves of food or whatever for a season. We might find that God will bring forth a power or a breakthrough that may not take place otherwise. But I'm saying again, you cannot use fasting to make God do things. You can't say, I'm like I did myself. I told you guys about 2 weeks back, I told God before I moved to Austin, Texas, I'm going to fast for 3 days, and I expect an answer about moving to Colorado Springs or Austin, Texas. What God did is God answered my prayer in 30 seconds by a telephone call. And God said to me very clearly, you can't make me answer prayer by your conditions. You can call a three-day fast if you want to and try to make me answer about your Austin, Texas, Colorado Springs deal. I'll answer you the way I want to answer you, as fast as I want to answer you, okay? So what I'm saying is when we fast, just don't always try to use our fasting to try to make God do things. Let's just say, Father God, in obedience to your word, I'm going to make fasting a part of my life. And through the fasting, you do what you want to do in me and through me. And I pray to God that I'm obeying your voice, and I'm going to be fasting here to your glory. May you do what you want to do through this fast in Jesus' name. I still fast myself once a week, usually on Thursdays, from sundown to sunup. I don't eat anything at all, even after lunch many times on Thursdays. And then many times I also will fast for 21 days on a Daniel fast on the first part of the year. Now, I was in Myanmar in January, so I'm not sure if God gives me a buy yet or not. I'm going to find out. But this Daniel fast is not fun because it means no sugar, it means no dairy, it means no salt, it means none of the good things that taste good in life. It means a whole lot of Ezekiel bread. It means a whole lot of water and juice. It means vegetables and fruit and things like that. Okay, so I'm just saying a fast like that, a Daniel fast, 21-day fast, not only will cleanse your liver and your body out, it will sometimes get you also, I think, tuned in to some things God wants to speak to us throughout the year. Now, one thing that took place in my life about fasting was the Holy Spirit spoke through a prophet to me back in the 80s and said, I'm calling you to a series of fasts on a regular basis so that you might have your ear tuned in to hear my voice. So I found myself that what fasting does for me mainly is it unclutters my ear to hear God's voice better. When I hear God's voice, all things are possible to those who believe. Amen? But you can't believe unless you hear. When you hear, you can then believe that God will do what God says, but God's got to say something first, okay? So it unclutters my ears, what fasting does for me, for the most part. I also want to encourage you guys in your prayer time, don't give in to speaking out all your problems to God. Don't give in to griping and complaining. Don't even use joint prayer meetings for gossip. I've heard sometimes in prayer meetings how we use our prayers to gossip about folks in the church. And that's not what prayer meetings are for, amen? Oh, God, help out so-and-so Mr. Smith there. You've seen how he's been philandering around, flirting with the girls in the church, so forth. Oh, God, please stop that in Jesus' name. You just spread out to the whole church there. Mr. Smith's got a problem with lust and is flirting with girls in the church. We don't need that in prayer meetings, amen? So God says use prayer meetings in realms to come in agreement with what God is saying there and say, Lord, give me wisdom in my prayers to pray those things that bring edification and bring comfort and bring solutions in Jesus' name. I also want to say here in these verses, approach God as a friend and not as a slave. It says to us in James chapter 2, verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God. It was accounted to him as righteousness, and he was also then called the friend of God. God says we are his friend. Amen. And so approach God not in fear, not in trembling like a worm, not as a beggar, but as God's friend, and God wants to hear from us. Number two, second thing about prayer in agreement. There's a product of prayer. Let's look now at Matthew 21, verse 10. Let's read verses 10 through 16, the product of prayer. Because prayer does bring results. Matthew 21, 10 says this. When he had come into Jerusalem, Jesus, all the city was moved. Notice that. And they said, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. They're taken from Isaiah. This is the house of prayer for all nations. But you have made it a den of robbers and thieves. Verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and sang, Hosanna to the Son of David. They became angry and indignant. And they said to him, Do you hear what these children are saying? And Jesus said back to them, Yes. Have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants or sucklings, you have perfected praise. So here he gives us some products of prayer. I want to write these things down as well, perhaps. Notice in verse 10, it says, When he came to Jerusalem, all the city was moved. That word moved in the Greek language means this. It means stirred, startled, wild with excitement, thrown into commotion, and totally shocked. The good news is, when you pray, Jesus Christ fills the room with his presence, and things that start stirring, startling, and exciting, and bringing commotion takes place. All heaven breaks loose in the prayer of God's people upon the earth. When our prayer partners are here praying on Sunday mornings like they did this morning, they're causing commotion. They're causing explosions. They're causing shiftings and changings in the spiritual atmosphere in the lives of people they're praying for. You may not see anything in the natural realm, but I promise you there are supernatural things going on. Whenever Jesus shows up, the whole city is moved. Amen? Let's read on now. Matthew 18, verse 19 through 20 says this. Matthew 18, 19 through 20. And again I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that you ask, anything, it will be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst of them. That's why we have intercessory prayer Sunday mornings before church, once a month on Thursdays like this week as well. Because if we can come together with our angels, the Spirit of God in us, and the Word of God flowing through us, nothing is impossible for those who believe. Amen? And I really believe that we're seeing people like Tiffany and Miriam's lives being saved in car crashes because folks are praying in this church. We're seeing people like Iris Sotsi and her family comforted because God's presence fills rooms of dying people. We're seeing teens being sent out to places like Myanmar. And we're seeing no sickness, no disease, no calamities, no accidents, no bad things going on that could distract the team from ministry as well. We're seeing Kendra Metcalf overseas being protected in a place where civil war is breaking out in South Sudan. And we're seeing families being healed and changed and transformed because people are praying for families in our church for things like that in specific. And God answers prayer. Amen? I know God moves through the prayers of his people. I've seen it happen too many times that it can't be true. Amen? So what does Jesus do when he enters the temple? It says here, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus Christ comes in us, he does the same thing in us as he did in this picture here in Matthew 21. The same thing Christ did in that temple, he does also in this temple in receiving his Lord and Savior in life. It says here, first of all, he established purity. He turned over everything that kills and steals and destroys. He says, you made my temple a place of thieves. He overturns the tables. He drives out the thieves and robbers. And he says, my Father's house shall be a house of purity. Purity. The first word is purity. And so realize that God's going to always draw us to a pure life. Okay? Because impurity actually takes and robs us of the blessings of God in our lives. He then goes on and establishes prayer. My Father's house to be a place of prayer for all nations. Then he releases his power. Folks get healed. Miracles break forth. Demons get cast out. And then he brings forth then perfected praise. Out of the mouths of babes, worship and praise goes out. But notice on the outside of the temple, persecution breaks out. And the Bible tells us, if all men speak well of you, and there's no persecution taking place in your life, cursed are you among all men of the earth. But he said, blessed are those who receive persecution for the kingdom of God's sake. For so they also did the prophets and even Jesus Christ himself. Now again, we don't look for persecution, but it just kind of comes to us automatically if we seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Amen. So let's go now to those things one at a time briefly. First of all, the thing that Christ does here when he comes to the temple, he establishes purity in our lives. I found it's next to impossible to live in godly purity when the focus is on us. What that means is I cannot be delivered of my things that are impure in my mind, my actions, or my thoughts in my power. I can't get my focus on me. It must be on God. This thing displeases you. Would you please give me power and authority and deliverance from that in Jesus' name? I had all kinds of issues in my life at age 20 when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And God changed my desires in almost one day because I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. I began to weep and cry and be broken before him as God baptized me in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, for the first time, I began to look at girls in a pure way. I began to not desire music that was actually dishonoring to God. I began to have thoughts that were toward folks getting saved, coming to Christ as Lord and Savior. And all of a sudden, all my motives started getting purified by God on a day-by-day basis. And may God do that in my life and your lives also more and more every day. God changes motives, attitudes, mindsets, thinkings, actions, not by my power, but by his power. Amen? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your hearts. And I want my desires and my heart to line up with his desires by putting him first. Okay, so purity comes like that. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. So it says our sins, our impurities actually cause God to have almost a deafness towards us in many ways. And so sometimes when prayers aren't being answered, it can be, there can be a blockage there somehow in a rebellious type way where we're doing our own thing in a carnal, fleshly way. And God's saying, remove that thing first, and I'm going to start hearing you better if you speak these prayers into my ear. Then it goes on in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians 5, 13 says, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. I can't remember, I think it was this church I talked to, not overseas, a few weeks back, where I was saying again, the main reason that I really don't have a desire to do alcohol or things that are addictive or cuss a whole lot and so forth, or even try to use road rage on I-35, even though my flesh wants to sometimes, because I really know that the devil and God both wants people to see us. We might be hopefully a godly example to them and show what the victorious life of Jesus Christ really is all about. Your neighbors watch you. Your coworkers are watching you. They need to see Jesus in you. And you cannot show them Jesus by your might and by your power. It's going to be by his Spirit. Amen? And so as the Holy Spirit controls us, possesses us, and influences us, God's going to show us off to our coworkers. They're going to want what you've got in due time in their lives. Amen? You are a living testimony of Jesus. And so realize that and know that. God wants to show us off. And impurity helps to hinder that. Okay, Ephesians chapter 4, 22-23 says this, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and, notice these two words, true holiness. Now, for there to be a true holiness, there must be a false holiness, okay? So what's true holiness? It goes on and explains these two words. Therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. What he's saying here is what I just said to you guys. True holiness is a true representation of Jesus coming out of your life. That is true holiness. Amen? It simply means set apart for the purpose of God is being holy. Okay? And so God's saying to us, false holiness is trying to work up things in our own religious way to put all the evil things behind us and let God somehow be pleased by that. God is saying, no, to be truly holy means take on my nature, my joy, my laughter, my character, my power, my anointing, all these things, take those things on you And you'll display then what's called true holiness to folks around you with God's help. Next thing here, he then established prayer. Once purity was there, prayer takes place. Isaiah 56, verse 7 is what he quotes from. My Father's house shall be a house of prayer for all nations. And I want to say again, there's no distance in prayer. You guys were praying here. We were over 10,000 miles away. Do you realize that one of the things that your prayers did that helped me out a whole lot was I was getting on a bus in Bangkok with Sylvia, waiting for Sylvia and Jack to show up a little bit later. And those other four guys were on the bus with us. And somehow I told the guys on the bus, I'm going to go in the airport and try to find Sylvia and Jack. Please bring my bags onto this bus to make the one-hour drive from this side of Bangkok to that side of Bangkok for the other airport. And so I find Jack and Sylvia. I get back on the bus. The place is totally packed, standing room only. It's a great big old giant bus. People are all around the area around the bus as well. Because you guys prayed, by the grace of God, I looked out the window at the place where the man was at handing stamps on hands for the bus ride. And there was my suitcase right next to him, left on the sidewalk. By 30 seconds, I got off the bus, or someone did, and got my suitcase, brought it on the bus. And it was not left behind with me having things I needed not being in my possession for that trip. Okay, so that's one way again how your prayers long distance were answered. In Bangkok, Thailand, God's caused me to look out the window at the exact right place and see my suitcase sitting there in the midst of all the sea of people around me. Only God can do that. Amen? That's why I'm saying your prayers have no distance upon them. God does long-distance prayer, answering. Prayer answering, okay? Moving on. Matthew 28, verse 18 says this, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Mark 16, 14 says, "Afterward, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table. He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen." Verse 17 and 18 goes on in Mark 16 and says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will not harm me, by no means harm them or hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And what he's saying here to these verses is this. You don't need to beg God to do what Jesus Christ has already paid for on the cross. You need to learn how to command and proclaim and agree. And say, "I command that cancer to die and go in the name of Jesus Christ, because by his stripes you are healed in Jesus' name. I command that rebellion in my kid's life to be totally broken off of him and bow the knee to Jesus. And I praise you, Father God, you intervene and work in his behalf in Jesus' name." God is wanting Christians to quit taking and begging, pleading, and crying like little worms in the prayer time and start spending more time commanding, loosing, binding, and agreeing with what God has already done through Jesus Christ upon the cross. Amen? In your prayers. Next of all, third thing that Christ does in the temple is brings forth perfected praise. He brings forth, I talked about prayer. The next thing I see is power. And I just mentioned the power part now, how God's power got released of healing his miracles, signs, and wonders. Then the last thing, number four, was perfected praise comes out of the mouths of the children. Why did Jesus say these children are now doing what's called perfected praise? Because I believe before this, they were simply parroting and mimicking their parents in religious Jewish praise and songs of old at that time. Now the children see their parents' leprosy being healed, tumors falling off, demons being cast out, broken arms being mended, short legs growing out, blind eyes opening up. They're seeing their grandparents and parents and sisters and brothers getting healed by the power of Almighty God. And they begin to praise and say, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus Christ has come." And Jesus says, "Finally, I am hearing real, authentic praise and worship for who I am." It's called perfected praise. Perfected praise means I don't praise God when I hear about him. I praise God because I know him. I see him. I feel him. I embrace him. I know what he does. I know him now. And now comes perfected praise out of my mouth. Amen. There's people in this congregation right now that are doing perfected praise. Through that, God is glorified. And the heart of Jesus is touched and moved by perfected praise. Do you see that? Then I said, last of all, also beyond that, persecution breaks out outside the temple. Last point, number three, there's a process in prayer. There's a process in prayer. Let's read Matthew 21, verse 18. I'm going to close with this in a moment. And it says, now in the morning, as he returned to the city of Jerusalem, he was hungry. Jesus was. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on the fig tree but leaves. And he said to the fig tree, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately, the fig tree withered away. When the disciples saw it, they marveled and said, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered back and said, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done in the fig tree, but also if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now, the thing about this verse here is, it seemed like, again, that Jesus always got immediate results. But the Bible also says one time Christ prayed for a blind man, and the first time he prayed for him, he said, what do you see? And the blind man said, I cannot still see things clearly yet, but I see men like trees walking around in a blurred vision. Then it says Jesus Christ prayed for him again, and his eyesight was totally restored to 20/20. On the second prayer. One version also says Jesus Christ went to the fig tree and cursed it, and the next day it was found to be withered. What I'm saying is, we're not always going to find ourselves receiving instant answers to prayer in our lives. But I do believe things are set in motion every time we pray. Amen? Let's read now Mark chapter 11, as James is back to help me out here. James, please. Mark 11. 13 and 14 and 20 and 21, these verses say this. And seeing from afar the fig tree having leaves, he went to see it. Perhaps he would find something on it to eat. This is Mark's version. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. His disciples heard this. Notice what it says next. Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has now withered away. I'm not sure why these are different renditions here in this story, but I do know, though, is we don't always see immediate results by prayers we pray upon the earth. Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. The main thing is, let's keep on praying and believing and know the answer is going to come in God's timing and God's way. In Daniel, we all know the story there about how Daniel prays for his city. It says, for 21 days, the prayer was not answered. Daniel's told by the angel Michael, I fought with Lucifer, the archangel, for 21 days, the prince of this Persian kingdom. I finally have the answer now as 3 weeks have gone by, and the answer of the breakthrough is now coming to you. Kristen, who's our children's pastor with us to Myanmar as well, as a 7-year-old girl, covered in eczema on her eyes, her belly button, her elbows, her knees, her stomach. Very, very embarrassing for her, a young girl, 7 years old, very itchy, very bleeding and cracking and weeping all the time. She prayed and answered altar calls for 12 months at Shoreline Christian Center Children's Church that God would heal her of eczema. And God didn't answer her prayer for 12 solid months. But one final prayer time on a Sunday morning, she prayed again, went to the front to get prayed for. Monday morning, she woke up totally, completely transformed and healed from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. No eczema was on her body at all, and it never came back again. She's now going to celebrate her 29th birthday tomorrow with no eczema for 22 years. I'm saying sometimes God does not answer prayer like that, but God does answer prayer eventually. And I'm saying persevere, don't give up. God hears us. God will answer prayer, as only God can do. Amen. Let's bow our head and close our eyes now for a moment in the last minutes of the service today. I said this morning here, there's three things about prayer and agreement. That is, there's a posture for prayer. Humility. He is the supply. He is the wise one. He knows the best thing for us. We come before Him with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter into His courts with praise. We say, Father God, You are the God of the supernatural. Nothing is too hard for You. You're my Lord, my God, my Savior. I worship You. I praise. I bless Your name, knowing all good things take place and come from Your hands. That's the posture of prayer. The product of prayer is that prayer brings forth constant purity. Because when you pray, God will always convict us of things that are impure in His sight. But also, when you come in prayer, there'll be a reinforcing. You'll find yourself wanting to pray more and more. Power gets released through you, through prayer life on a consistent basis. And also there will come to you perfected praise, because you'll know God better. You'll start praising Him in spirit and in truth, not in religion. Not because you've heard about Him, because now you know Him. Perfected praise takes place. But also through prayer, persecution will come. And sometimes bad things take place to good people. But understand that God also answers prayer on your behalf, even about things like that. Then third of all, we said that there's a process in our prayer. And that process means God rewards those who diligently seek Him and will not give up, but will persevere, seeing no results, sometimes for weeks, months, or even sometimes years. God rewards people who seek Him diligently. As your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed this morning, I want to say right now there's three progressions to prayer on a consistent, regular basis. The first one's this. You must embrace a desire to pray. People do what they want to do. When you go home today, you're going to do what you want to do. Now, you may have to wash some clothes, wash some cars, and do things you don't want to do in that realm. But I'm saying in the spiritual realm, we do what we want to do. And I'm saying to begin with, prayer is work and prayer is not fun. Prayer is giving out. Prayer is going to cause you to sweat. It's going to cause you to want to go to sleep. And sleep is the biggest enemy prayer's got. Jesus said to the disciples, could you not tarry 1 hour? Why are you guys all asleep? I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. You can't even stay awake for 1 hour. Jerry Seville, Kenneth Copeland's associate, told us at CF&I Bible School years ago. He said, I had to get myself from a desire to pray to the number two realm. The second realm is being disciplined to prayer. That's the hard part, discipline. I found myself falling asleep every prayer meeting in my bedroom. I could not stay awake and pray. The Holy Spirit said, go to your bathroom, perch yourself on the edge of your bathtub, and pray like that for 1 hour. If you fall asleep, you're going to put your face in the toilet or you're going to fall back in the bathtub. You will not fall asleep. For 1 month, Jerry Seville perched himself, balanced himself on the edge of his bathtub, and prayed for 1 hour. It then became a habit. Discipline took place. Now he can pray on his face in his bed and not fall asleep in prayer. The third progression for prayer is this. It becomes a divine delight because you start seeing God answering prayer. You start seeing lives getting changed. You start seeing things happening. You start seeing things being moved on by your prayers. You start sensing God's presence. You start hearing God's voice. You start delighting in God in your prayer time. You cannot wait to go to prayer. It becomes a delight in your life. As you pray right now at the end of this service, I'm going to ask you folks now with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you pray today, Father God, take me now today to have a desire, a want to pray. Let's pray. Father, I thank You and praise You, O God, this day in 2016, January 31st. That You, O God, place inside of each one of us a greater desire to pray for the needs of our nation, the needs of our government, the needs of our city, the needs of our neighbors and co-workers, family members, our spouse, ourselves. Father God, place that holy desire inside of us. And then God, beyond that today, give us, Lord, divine discipline. To be those, oh God, who say, I will press through sleep and slumber and busyness and agendas and schedules. And I will find time to pray in the name of Jesus. I'm going to meet with the great I Am, the God of all the universe, the one who loves me and lives in me. And I want to find myself in due time finding great delight in the place of prayer. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Before we dismiss today's service, I want to say again to you guys, whenever Jack and our teams go overseas and folks line up against, like Jack said, get prayed for one at a time, it totally wears you out to pray for all those people, because there's power, virtue coming through you into them. And it wears you out. But it's worth it, because you see lives touched and changed and transformed. And then God gives you a place of rest, and God recharges your batteries once again by perfected praise. And the cycle goes on and on and on. And I'm saying again, don't shy away from prayer, because prayer's work is not always fun, but it does bring lasting results. And there will be delight in prayer in due time. Amen? Amen. I'm going to pause 1 second here. Father, I pray, God, close this service again. Reveal to these people, God, the love you have for them. Let them realize, God, that they are more precious in your sight than they can imagine. There's good things you want to do, God, in their lives this day. And Father, I praise you, Lord, that you're touching bodies and touching lives, causing all sickness and disease to be broken off these bodies in the name of Jesus. I praise you, God, you're healing marriages, oh God, by your Spirit. You're causing, Father God, financial breakthroughs to be released, oh God, upon this people, oh Lord, this year. This shall be a year of increase. This shall be a year, God, of expansion and explosions, Father God, of blessings and abundance that brings forth, oh God, a forgetting of the pains of the past. And may, oh God, the sting of death be broken off this people in Jesus' name. I right now command depression and discouragement to go off these minds, these lives, these hearts. They not be overwhelmed any longer in the name of Jesus. But I praise you, God, the one who cares for them and loves them is with them. And you shall, God, you shall hear their prayers, answer their prayers. You are their God, you will be their God, and you will see them through in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Bless and praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. I'm going to have Therese Brocker come to the front. Therese, if you're still here, go ahead and come to the front. You can dismiss us in prayer if you do that, please. Okay. There's going to be, Cheryl saying there's also statements here for giving available as you leave today for last year's giving in the information booth, I think, out here in the foyer. And again, if you guys can come back Thursday night for prayer, do that. But if you don't come here for prayer together, I understand. Let's try to make a commitment this week to find time to get alone with God in the mornings, hopefully, if it works out. Spend some time interceding, not just for your needs only, the needs of our nation, the needs of what God puts in your heart to pray for. We're going to move on this year beyond this message here. And I'm believing God, we're going to find ourselves going to the next level in prayer with God's help. Amen. Praise God. Let's dismiss us in prayer in a moment.
Pastor, if I may, the Lord has given me a word 2 weeks ago, and it's still on my heart, and I know he wants me to deliver it now, and it goes right along with what Pastor has been teaching on strengthening us. He wants to strengthen us in every area of our lives. And since we're not perfect people, he gives words of correction, and that's what this word is. It's the Lord is love, and God gives us in love. But a couple weeks ago, I was praying in my prayer time, and the word nefarious kept coming to me, and since that's not a word in my vocabulary, I went to my dictionary and looked it up, and it was a short description. it means evil. So I asked the Lord, you know, what is this evil about, you know? And he kept telling me, a nefarious situation. So I kept seeking him on that and kept praying. And he said that when a brother or sister in Christ is blessed by another brother or sister in Christ, whether it be a ministry or one another, and then that person that was blessed speaks negatively about the other person that has blessed them, he said it is worse than just wrong or sinful. In his sight, it is nefarious, and it's evil. That's just, I'm going to give the word the way he said it. It's evil. And he said that is what made what Judas did so evil. It would have been wrong, it would have been sin for a Roman soldier or anyone else to betray our Lord Jesus Christ. But because it was someone that was blessed by the Lord and blessed by the ministry, his disciples there, it was particularly heinous. It was wrong. So when we're blessed by another brother or sister in Christ in any way, someone brings us a meal, whatever it may be, and then we turn around and speak negatively about that person, the Lord is saying this is nefarious in his sight. And that word is for us here, and he wants to strengthen us in that area as a church because he loves us. And so now we just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this message that you have delivered to us through Pastor Mike. We pray and praise and thank you for the anointing on that word, Lord. May those seeds just filter down deep in our spirits, Lord, deep in our hearts. May we think about it. May we pray about it. May we just wonder about this, Lord. Lord, cause us to let it be a blessing here to us for improvement, for our improvement, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.